Good evening. I hope you've all had a great day. From what I observed, you did. Just want to have a slight recap this evening. This morning, we talked about the two kingdoms. We talked about how that if we are followers of Christ, we are a soldier in the kingdom, in the heavenly kingdom. Talked about how Jesus is our commander in chief. So that brings me to a question. If you want Jesus to be your commander in chief, what do you do about it? Somebody want to answer that question? What do you do about it?
Surrender to him.
Yes. What else? That is definitely correct. Pursue after him. Good answers. Obey him. Believe.
Love
him. Those are all right. Just not quite the words I'm looking for yet. Serve him. Turn with me to John 3. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or amen, amen, emphasis, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, again, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. We need to be born again. That means that we are made a tremendous change in our life. You know, when you were very small and in your mother's womb, when you were born, it was a change. You were born and you entered this world. And when you are born again in the Spirit, it's a change. It's a change. And I want to emphasize that we just understand that the only way to enter into the kingdom of God is to be born again. Jesus Christ is the only way. Okay. We often hear the term Christian, right? We often hear that term. When someone's born again, they become a Christian. And it's a good term. In Acts 11, 26, it says the disciples were first called Christians, in Antioch. And it was actually those from Antioch, the Gentiles, that called them Christians. And if you read about it, it was because his disciples, his followers, his soldiers were walking around and all they could talk about was Christ. And it was actually a derogatory term at the beginning. Oh, there comes another Christian. All he can do is talk about Christ. And I thought that was kind of neat, actually. Another place in the Bible where we hear the term Christian is when Paul was before King Agrippa. King Agrippa said that, you know, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So that term, that word, that new word that was coined in Antioch spread across the world, the known world that time. And we understand that almost everybody today understands what a Christian is. So when we're born again, when we become a soldier in the kingdom of heaven, with Jesus as our commander in chief, we actually become a reflection of our commander in chief, Jesus Christ. We He's within us and we reflect and obey and serve him and all the right answers that you had. That's what happens to us. There's a change. There's a rebirth. And the things of the world become dim. Or they should. And they do. If we're truly serving him. I went ahead and I just Googled Christian. Just for interest's sake. I don't do that very often. And I was actually quite impressed what came up. It talked about being a mirror. Where, you know, because what Christ has done for us, we reflect Christ. It talked about someone who believes and obeys his teachings. It talked about a lot of the things that we read about in the Word of God. About the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The difference between a soldier of the heavenly kingdom and a soldier of this earthly kingdom. There's no resemblance. Almost none. Jesus taught his disciples. He taught them a lot of things for the few years that he was on this earth. I just want to talk about a few of them. He taught his soldiers to love God. You know, he loved God. He talked about his Heavenly Father. And he teaches us to love God. He taught us that we need to ask for forgiveness for our sin. He taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He taught us to repent and be baptized. He taught us to forgive anyone who wrongs you, no matter what or how often. He taught us to forgive. He taught us to love our enemies. He taught us to do good to them that persecute us. He taught so much in a short period of time. I've been studying a little bit recently in John, the book of John. And one thing that has become really evident to me is that we're so used to reading about Jesus' walk on this earth. You know, we've most of us grown up reading the Bible. And we're kind of used to it. And I just want to remind myself and I want to remind you that this is a true story. This is a true account. Jesus did walk on the earth. He did teach all these things in actuality to his disciples. This is not some figment of imagination. It's true. And when you think about it in that way, it makes it more real that this actually happened. These accounts that are recorded in the Gospels of Jesus' time on this earth, they actually happened. Right? Like, let's not forget that. It's not a fable. It's not a fairy tale. It's a recording of happenings when Jesus was on this earth. It'll be more alive to you when you think about it that way. And I know you do, but sometimes it's good to be reminded of that. I find something really interesting in a few passages in the New Testament about Jesus when he was training his followers. Something that I think means a lot and maybe we don't hear about enough. So I would like you to turn to Matthew 10. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Matthew 10. And I'm just going to read first verse 1 to start here. So Jesus called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Then he names the 12 disciples. And let's jump to verse 5 there. And Jesus is sending them out. He's sending them out into the known world at that time. And he specifically sent them out to the villages of Judah, Israel, to the Jews. And he commands them here, when you read down through verse 7, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse." And in other words, just go and I'll provide for you. Don't take script. Don't prepare. You know, I will help you. I will teach you. I will give you the words to speak. And he went out. Now turn, and they went out and they did this. Now I'd like you to turn to Luke 10. What does it say there in Luke 10? "After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also. And he also sent them out two by two to do the same thing." What is Jesus trying to teach his disciples and his followers here? He sent them out to preach. And I find it kind of interesting in Matthew 10, 16. No, I'm sorry, I've got this wrong. Bear with me. Maybe it is Matthew 10. So let me check here quickly. Back to Matthew 10. Yes. Matthew 10, 16. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of the wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." He was sending the 12 and the 72 into dangerous territory. And he was sending them out in faith. They were doing an exercise in faith. They were going out to preach repentance, to preach about Jesus. And he warned them that there could be persecution. He warned them that they're going to face some hard things. And he still sent them out. Why would he do that? Do you have any thoughts? Why would Jesus send out the 70 and the 12? What's he trying to teach his followers here? Does someone want to share? Pardon? That's right, advancing the kingdom. Anybody else? That's right. When you think about what happened when Jesus ascended, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave what we call the Great Commission. Can anybody recite that? Matthew, maybe we'll read it. Matthew 28, 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all world." I believe that Jesus was preparing his followers by sending out the 12 and the 72 to fulfill this commandment to go into all the world. He was giving them a chance to practice when they could come back to him and discuss with them what happened on their journeys. Maybe we should do more of that. Do you think? Do you think Bria should send you youth out two by two? You know, I just wonder sometimes. You know, we live our lives and they're pretty plush here in North America. And when we read scriptures like this here and we think about what is it like to be a soldier for the kingdom of heaven in 2024, are we really where we should be? I'm challenging myself and I want you to think about it. And maybe some of you have thought about it. I hope you have. In a little bit, I'm going to give you a chance to share a little bit. What do you think it's like to be a soldier for our Commander-in-Chief Jesus Christ in 2024? What should that look like? Or what does it look like? So we talked about earlier this morning, we talked about how that our enemy, the devil, he's after souls. He wants to take souls with him. He wants to take souls. He wants to make sure that the least souls possible make it to glory. That's his goal. He knows he's lost the battle. But his character is that evil that all he wants to do is take as many with him as he can. And Jesus, on the other hand, our commander-in-chief, the captain of the army that we are a part of, do you see this? He's sending out his followers to preach repentance so that they can become born again and enter glory with him. A heart of love. It's not a heart of destruction like the devil. It's opposite. And if you're born again, and if you are a reflection of Jesus Christ, what are you going to do with your life? What is going to be most important into your life? Are you not going to reflect what Jesus would have done? And that's to reach out to souls, to preach repentance. So this evening, I would like to have a bit of a discussion now about what is it like, what should it be like to be a soldier for Jesus Christ in 2024? I'm looking for you with your ideas, and I'll throw some thoughts out as well from time to time. But I'd like this to be somewhat your time now. Let's challenge each other in this. Who's brave enough to start this off? All right. In Timothy, it says, all who follow him will suffer persecution. Have you suffered persecution? It's kind of challenging, isn't it? Anybody want to share on that? If we desire to serve him, we will suffer persecution. What does persecution look like in 2024? Okay, Heather mentioned that, you know, we do face persecution. We need to go against the flow. And that's true. Do you feel like you're going against the flow? I see some people nodding their heads. Yes, we do, don't we? Okay, I'm trying not to talk too much here. So I'm going to open up again. We'll probably come back to that a little bit, Jill. Anybody else? What's it like to be a soldier for Jesus Christ in 2024? Mm-hmm. That's an excellent one. What God says about gender. That's a hot topic of today, isn't it? It is. And it's an important one. Certainly. Thank you for that. And along with that, remember, when you're asked questions and when people ask you tough questions, and they will when you go out two by two, they will when you actually go out and witness specifically, verbally witness, you will get asked tough questions. Always point to the truth. Always point to the truth. That's an easy way out. A little testimony at the Bible Club in Stratford there. We had a case where and I was in the class. It was the older girls' class. But a young lady asked a question if it's a sin to be a lesbian. And it just came out of the blue. The teachers hardly knew how to handle it. And they showed her the Word of God and what it says. So, yes, it is a sin. They, of course, told her that they love her. They told her it doesn't make any difference to them. We still love you. And the parents, she went home and told her parents, and they got a little bit, or her mother and grandmother, and how it got, were a little bit worked up about this. And they called, they wanted to meet. And I struggled a little bit, who should go meet with them? And we finally sent those who were involved in the class, went to meet with them. And we talked about it beforehand. And they just shared with the mother and the grandmother that, you know what, we're Christians, and we are Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christians. And it says in the Word of God that being a lesbian is a sin. It's very clear. And because we follow the Word of God, we do other things that are strange too. We believe divorce and remarriage is a sin. We wear veilings. We, you know, there's a whole list of things. And that's why I feel it's so important for a soldier in 2024 that we keep the whole Bible. Because when we get to the place, when we get asked these hard questions, then we look in the Bible and we have to choose what we're obeying or what to believe to be truth. How can we answer those hard questions? Remember that. We want to believe the whole Bible. I'll open up a little bit more before I talk a little more. Anybody else? Yes. It's so true. People are selfish. People around us are very selfish who are not serving God. Very selfish. And when you are a servant to them, when you can show a servant heart to them, it speaks volumes to them. I believe we're in a time, brothers and sisters, I believe we're in a time where there is an awakening for something different than what a lot of non-Christians have been experiencing for the last few generations. They're actually starting to see that it's not working. And I want to suggest that this room tonight, I truly believe that if yous are on fire for God, and if yous really, truly want to be a soldier for Jesus Christ, you're going to have opportunities like some generation before you have not had to share the Word of God. Because there are souls out there that are beginning to be desperate. Because they see it's not working. To be a soldier in the heavenly kingdom in 2024 is not going to be easy. Have you thought about that? If you're serious, it's not going to be easy. Are you willing for that challenge? It gets messy. When you get involved in people's lives, it gets messy. When they start sharing with you their lives and you're able to point them to Jesus Christ, it gets messy. But Jesus is the answer, and He will bring victory to those that you're sharing with. If they open their hearts, if they call out to Jesus Christ, He will heal them. He will. I feel led to talk a little bit more about that gender issue and just share a few things. I know of two cases in the last 3 years that we've been living in Stratford. One where somebody was mixed up in their gender, a young lady, and ended up committing suicide. It was very hard because we knew this girl. And just a couple months ago, a young man we've known for quite a few years, he attempted committing suicide. Same issue. He was mixed up as far as his gender. It does nothing but bring confusion. And I want to tell you, it's an opportunity for you tonight to reach out to those poor young people who are so deceived and so confused, and they just need the Lord. I actually believe that part of the issue why we have so many young people in the world turning to other, you know, being so mixed up with their gender is because they want to belong. You know, if they decide they're a lesbian or if they're gay or they decide they're truly a man or a woman and they're locked in the wrong gendered body, whatever it all is, there's a community there that reaches out to them when they make that known. I want to suggest tonight that if you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, you are going to be that community that can reach those poor souls. Okay, I was talking a lot there again. Sorry. What else? What's it like to be a soldier for Jesus Christ in 2024? Yes. Amen. It takes It takes focus. And yeah, it takes a lot of focus. And I want to say this carefully. I think you're going to understand me, but I'm not sure that the cultures that we've been raised up in have done a good job over the years in teaching us how to focus on being a soldier. I actually believe that our culture started out good. I heard a talk at a men's retreat at Penn Valley. A Haitian that married an American has moved up to the U.S. somewhere. He was speaking, and at the beginning of the session, he asked us all to raise our hands if we believe in truth. And we put our hands up like a lot of Americans do, just kind of half. And he said, "Hey, listen, if you believe in truth, like raise your hand, like let it known." And then he went into a long discussion about the Haitian church. Well, first of all, the culture of the country, then the church culture in Haiti. And then he got quiet, and he was quiet for a little bit and said, "Now I want to talk to you about your church culture in North America here." And he said, "Your church culture is such a good culture that you can be part of the culture and not be a Christian. And that's detrimental to your soul." And it really struck me. We so often, it's so easy for us to get our focus wrong. You know, our focus becomes money, the root of all evil. It becomes our clothing. It becomes the truck we drive. It becomes, there's whatever. It's so easy to get our focus off being a soldier for Jesus Christ. Anyone else? Takes a lot of patience. Yes, it does. And patience is hard to learn, isn't it? Sometimes we cry out to God and we wonder why God doesn't hear us, and we're struggling with something and it feels like God doesn't hear us. And God asks us just patiently continue to do what we know is right. Continue on with all the things we know are right, and God will answer us. And that's sometimes the exercise in patience. What else? Were you thinking of anything else specifically about patience? It takes a lot of patience sometimes with our fellow soldiers. Anyone else? Amen. Yeah. We need to wait on the Lord to renew our strength. Anyone else? Yes?
Independence. Especially in North America here, everyone is very independent there. They have technology and very little social life. And I believe we have to, as Christians, we have to break through that. We have to be, first of all, dependent on God, and we may let the culture around us lessen that. I think especially in the area of like finances and things like that, it's easy to take on the mentality of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I am the one that is
supplying
my own. So yeah, just thinking of in the line of dependence, we need to
break
that independence and depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
And the
amount of
trust as well.
Yes. Very true. It was interesting to me that Jesus sent out his disciples and the 70 two by two, not alone. You know, we're not designed to be alone in this work. And I believe that's where the church is such a beautiful thing. Never get to the place where you think you don't need the church. You don't need your fellow brothers and sisters for encouragement. We see that happening around us. We need each other. Even Jesus knew that. Anyone else? Yes?
A thought that comes to my mind is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him.
That's right. We need to acknowledge God. I read a little saying, and I can't quote it word for word, so I'll just try to tell you what it said. But it had the idea that so often we are waiting on the Lord to answer us. We're waiting on the Lord to give us direction. And He doesn't seem to give us direction. And the reason for that is because we want to decide whether we're going to accept His direction. We want to know what it is before we make the commitment to accept it. Is your relationship with God, with your commander-in-chief, as a soldier, do you trust Him so much that you will do anything? When you ask Him for direction, it's not you're kind of waiting, what's He going to say? Am I going to do it or am I not? No, you're going to do it, without a doubt. I appreciate that. What about your time? What does a soldier do with his time? Reads the Word of God, praises. Amen. Give God your valuable time, not your spare time. Because it's good. I'm enjoying this. Time is one of our most valuable assets. And we're only given so much of it before we enter the realm where time will be no more. So what do you want to be known for? What you did with your time? Think about it. You want to be known as a soldier that you served your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, well. That you did whatever He asked of you. That you spread the message that He preached in the Gospels, the few years that He was here on this earth. That it was part of you. He was part of you. It's who you were. Anybody else? If you're involved in any ministry, to go along with that, you like to see results, don't you? Right? We like to see results. Did you know there's no place in the Word of God where God says we're going to see results? Have you thought about that? He just commands us what to do. So as a soldier, we do it. Right? That's the kind of commitment that He's looking for. We do also know that it says very clearly in the Scriptures that His Word is never going to return void. We do know that. So if you're spreading the Word of God, you know it will never return void. Anyone else? Humility. That's a big one. I have that one written down here. Humility. Let's talk about that a little bit. Do you have more to say? Do you have more to say about humility? What is humility? Right. It's not all about you. I've heard it said that humility is the absence of need for recognition. We don't have that need for recognition. And when we don't have that need for recognition, we will do whatever our commander-in-chief asks us to do. No matter what, whether anybody ever knows it or not. Right? Pride is a tough subject. It's so close to home for me. It really is. It's easy for us to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Thank you. Any other thoughts? Yes. Absolutely. And what we were talking about, the reputation, we're not talking about our own reputation. Did you catch that? We're talking about our commander-in-chief's reputation. Right? Right? So, when we claim to be a soldier for Jesus Christ and we hang out with a crowd, we do something that is not or is contrary to what He commands, how we're supposed to live our lives, It's actually a blot on his name. Right? Because we've proclaimed that we're a Christian. Thank you for that. So, Jake shared it this morning. I really appreciated it. And I'm just opening this up. I'd like to know how you feel. So you feel free to disagree with me. But do you agree with Jake? Do you agree with me that we probably shouldn't be at the Blue Jays baseball game or whoever, you know, crying and screaming and idolizing the players? Is that right? Amen? I appreciate that. I believe that's true. That's right. It's probably not a sin to go, but I really question if our commander-in-chief, if we're willing to go there, maybe we should be standing outside the door and preaching when they come out from the game. It's some of these things that the last of all really been hitting home to me is, are we really being an active soldier like Jesus wants us to be? I'm not sure what time it is. I don't know how long I've been talking, but sorry, what time? Anybody have the time? Quarter after eight, okay. Tomorrow, I want to talk about what Jesus' followers, what they had to say in their writings about being a soldier. I've tried my best to stay within the Gospels, and there's so much in the New Testament. There's so much. I want you to think about, what does it mean to be transformed? What does it mean to be not conformed to this world? What does that mean in 2024? I don't think I understand completely. I'm learning. I'm on a journey in that. I really am. But I think there's something here for us. I really believe there is. Thank you for sharing. I want to express to you that I'm just so blessed in seeing your vision for the Lord, your attentiveness. These are an easy crowd to speak to, and I give God the glory for that. I really do. And let's just praise God in our closing prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for making salvation available to us, how that we can call out in your name and we can be born again and we can enter into the kingdom of God. Thank you, God, that you accept us in all our shortcomings, in our weaknesses, how that you pour out your Holy Spirit to strengthen us, how that you care about each one of our individual needs and our hurts, and how you so desire to heal us. Help us, God, to reach out to you for healing. I pray, God, that you would also just strengthen us and empower us. And God, I just ask that you would reach and touch each one of these young people's lives here tonight. God, I just pray that they will be very aware of what's going on around them, that they would seek out the lost, that they would seek out those who are hurting. God, that they would preach repentance to the world, to those who are destined to eternal destruction, and God, that they would be heard and souls could be saved. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to praise you in the way, God, that we understand how small we are and how large you are. How we're so insignificant, how that we don't need recognition, how that we are simply a reflection of you. I pray, God, that you would strengthen us, give us a good night's rest tonight, and just bless our fellowship here this evening. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.